Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you. Amen. You may be seated tonight in the name of the Lord. Amen. I count it tonight a privilege to be here. Amen. And to feel the wonderful presence of God that we feel in this place tonight. Amen. You know what, church? We are a privileged people. Amen. We are a privileged people to be here to know the Lord. Amen. To know Jesus Christ. Amen. And I feel very privileged to be here with Brother and Sister Meadows. We go back, way back. Mom and Dad made this trip from Portland, Oregon, all the way out to Atlantic City, which is the very tip, if y'all know where Atlantic City is, but way on the eastern tip of the United States. And they went way out there many, many years ago, back in 68. They made this trip. Mom and Dad had this blue Bonneville station wagon. And us kids were not on that trip. We didn't go on that trip. We stayed behind on that journey. Mom and Dad brought back all kinds of pictures from that. And, of course, Mom and Dad, they had this album, you know. And I remember as a kid looking at the album and looking at all these pictures. And they went through Washington, D.C., and they took a bunch of pictures. And my mom at that time, she had this little scarf, and she would tie it around her head, you know. And the wind would blow the scarf off, and they would take pictures, you know. So they had all these pictures of Brother Meadows and Derry Crosley and Jim Rome and my mom and Brother Meadows and my dad. And so I have looked at these pictures and seen these pictures since I was just a little boy. And I don't think that I've ever had the opportunity to, as an adult, to be with Brother Meadows and to meet him personally. I think this is the very first time that I have been with him and seen him personally as an adult, amen? So this, for me, is a very special moment, amen? Because I have heard my mother and father and people from out west speak of Brother and Sister Meadows and of Brother Meadows and the trip that they made during that time. And so this is a very special time for me. Now this is, it was kind of peculiar. The other day, Brother Meadows called me on the phone. I was down in Hamilton, and he called me on the phone. And first of all, I thought it was somebody else, and thought it was Brother Bill Pelham that was calling me. And then I found out that it was. He said, "Well, this is Brother Meadows," and so we got to talking. And then he asked me the question, "Well, what relation are you to brother Philip Womer?" Now, until this time, I had not made any connection. I just knew I was going to be with Brother Meadows in Galloway, and I didn't make any connection. So when he asked me the question, "What relation are you to Brother Womer, Philip Womer?" And I said, "Well, I'm his oldest son," and he started saying something else. And all of a sudden, it was like a light just turned on in my head, you know. And I said, "Well, what relation are you to Mike Meadows?" He said, "I am Mike Meadows." And I just could not believe that. I was just overwhelmed by that, because I have known you, Brother Meadows, for all these years, and I've never met you personally. And so it's a real joy to get to meet you, your precious wife, and my deepest concerns and condolences for the passing of your precious daughter, and for with everybody that I've spoken. I mean, there is just overwhelming affection for her and for what she represented. And I have prayed and I have asked the Lord. I'll be serious and upfront with you. I've been apprehensive of coming during this time. And I have prayed the Lord that God would speak to my heart. And I believe that I have something from the Lord for the church tonight. Amen. With all my heart. And I believe that it's going to go hand in hand with what Sister Amber what the life that she lived. Amen. And I hope and pray that I can be a blessing to you tonight. That is my prayer. Amen. Tonight. Praise the Lord. There is a wonderful presence of God in this place. Amen. And we, church, are a privileged people to know the Lord. Amen. To know Jesus Christ and how important it is for us to know Him. You know, we say that we know the Lord, that we know Jesus Christ. But I ask you today the question, do we really know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know Him? Amen. If I was to ask Brother Meadows tonight if he knows Philip Walmer, he would say, well, of course I know Philip Walmer. And then I could ask him, well, what size shoe does he wear? Well, he may stammer and stammer and you know, with his quick draw that he has, amen, he may just shoot for it and say, well, he wears a 10 or an 11, and he might hit it right on the noggin. But if I was to ask other questions, he would probably later have to admit, you know what, I really don't know those fine new details about Philip Walmer, amen, even though I spent several days on the road with him. Amen. Us knowing God must be our ultimate pursuit. Amen. We must pursue to know, amen, the Lord. Praise God. There was a man that once said, knowing God is crucially important for the living of our lives. The world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know God. Amen. I today want to have an ultimate pursuit, and that is to pursue the Lord. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Also, knowing God is the beginning of understanding. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Praise the Lord. Several verses of Scripture mention this. Amen. Knowing God, amen, we must seek Him out with all of our heart. The Bible says, you shall seek me, Jesus said, and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, Jeremiah said. Amen. It says in the book of Psalm 63, says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land. How many of you can relate to that? Praise the Lord. How many times have our hearts and our soul have felt dry and weary? Amen. Where there was no water and we went to the Lord and we began to call upon His name. And the Lord began to outpour into us, amen, a fountain of living water. He is the fount of living water. I want to know Him as my fount. Amen. Praise the Lord. As my provision. Praise God. Praise God. And knowing God, we know that it's all about love. Amen. Understanding God's incredible love for us is the all-important step in truly knowing God. It's the love of God that has the power to do what? To cast out our fear, amen, and to set us free. Jesus, amen, the psalm said, let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. Praise the Lord. I am thankful for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful for God's love in my life. Amen. I have told the Lord, Lord, why do you continue to love me? Amen. Because His love endures forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it is this message, it is this God that we take to those in the country of Uruguay and of Brazil, that they too may experience the power of God, that they may experience the love of God, that they may experience, the fountain of God, amen, the provision that God has to give to them, the salvation and the eternal life, that they may know God. the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to share with them about Jesus Christ. We want to go and share with them about the power of salvation, the power of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so we count it today, church, a privilege to go unto those people and to minister unto them this precious truth, that souls may also experience Jesus Christ and that they may know the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It is a privilege to get to know you and to share with you what the Lord has done for us in the country of Brazil and Uruguay. My wife is not with me. My wife and youngest son, Christian, have returned to the country of Uruguay already. This coming Sunday is my last service on deputation, and I'm going to be able to begin preparations. I don't know exactly when I'm going back, but I will begin preparations. That is, selling my vehicle, selling the luggage rack out there that's on top of my car, selling our motorhome, packing our goods, and beginning to make preparations to return to the country of Uruguay. I ask that you pray on our behalf that I can return as quickly as possible, first of all to my family and then to the work that God has called us to do there in that land. Amen? But I want to bring my wife to you today through a video that we have prepared for this occasion. And she is going to share with you her testimony of what God has done for her. And I did want to say that we have sound with this video. Are we ready? Okay? And so she is going to share with you she's going to share with you her testimony, and God is going to speak to your heart. If there is anything that we want to say, amen, it is thank you for giving. Thank you for sending missionaries around the world. And on behalf of every single one of those missionaries that you currently support, amen, I personally want to say thank you for giving. And today my wife also wants to come and say thank you. Amen.
And I've been a missionary for the last 30 years in South America, in Brazil, and the country of Uruguay. I'm thankful to the Lord that He loves the whole world, and His desire is that every creature would have the opportunity to accept this wonderful salvation that He has to offer. I feel honored to be called of God to go to Uruguay and Brazil and give them the opportunity to feel the presence of God and be forgiven of their sins, filled with the Holy Ghost, and to have the hope of glory that we all have. I am a result myself of a missionary endeavor. I am from the country of Uruguay, and many years ago, missionaries went to my country, and they started a little church in a neighborhood where my uncle used to live. And my mom and I had gone to visit him on a Sunday. And as they were visiting and talking, my uncle told my mom about this little crazy church in the neighborhood. And he was telling her all about this church, that they were loud and that they prayed and cried and raised their hands. And of course, we had never heard of Pentecost. We didn't know what that was, but my mom had been searching for something. I remember as a small child going with her to palm readers and witchcraft and things like that because she was looking for something to satisfy the emptiness of her soul. And when she heard about the little church, she told my uncle to go, let's go and see what's going on and check it out for ourselves. And I'm glad they did because that was a United Pentecostal church that the missionary has started in that city. And as we went into that little church, we felt for the very first time the presence of the Lord. And I was only 8 years old at that time, but I remember looking to my mom and she was crying. And she was so touched. She had never felt the presence of God before in her life. And she had finally found what she had been searching for. We are truly privileged people to know Jesus, aren't we? And I'm glad that a missionary went with a burden. I'm glad for churches like you here in the United States that have loved souls around the world and sent missionaries. We kept on going to the little church. My mom, she received the gift of the Holy Ghost, was baptized in Jesus' name, and I did too. When I was 8 years old, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when I received the Holy Ghost, I felt that the Lord was calling me to be a missionary. And I went and told my mom, I said, Mama, one day I'm going to be a missionary. And here I am. God has fulfilled that call in my life. It really doesn't matter what age we are. There is something we can all do for the kingdom of God. And that is His desire, that all of us would do something and tell others about Him. And we started talking and witnessing to my dad. My dad also had never heard of Pentecost, had never heard of Jesus, but he saw the transformation in my mother's life, and he realized what she had was real. And he came to service for the very first time. It was just me and him, and he didn't know what to expect, but he went there. And as the preacher started preaching, I looked to my dad, and he was also crying, feeling the touch of God in his life. And as he was crying, and I looked to him, and he started to repent, right there sitting by himself with me in, on the bench, and he started to ask Jesus to forgive. And when he did that, he raised his hands and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. God transformed him and also called him to the ministry. And he has pastored a couple of churches in the country of Uruguay, taught in the Bible school. Today he's 87 years old, but still faithful to the Lord. And this is my story. This is my testimony I want to share with you, because I want you to know that it works. Missionaries go with a burden, and churches here in the States send them. So people like me and my family today are part of the family of God. Today we are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But it took someone to go, and it took you to send them. So we are a team. Together we're fulfilling the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So thank you for your giving. Thank you for your sacrifice. One day you will meet the rest of the family, and that's going to be around the throne of God. And we get excited about that day. And you're going to get to meet so many from Brazil, from Uruguay, from around the world are going to be there because someone went and because you sent them. So thank you for loving Jesus, and thank you for loving souls around the world. May God bless you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a wonderful fellowship. And I am very thankful today for the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. I am a fourth generation Pentecostal, a third generation Pentecostal preacher in my family, and my two boys, Jonathan and Christian, are called of God and are today preaching the gospel. I'm thankful today for the heritage that I have. And thankful for the leaders that we have had in this organization and that have committed themselves to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know if you know this or not. It may be news to you. But the sun never sets on the United Pentecostal Church. Wherever the sun is shining, in every time zone of our world, in that place, there is a United Pentecostal Church, either through United States missionary, an American missionary, or whether it is through a regional missionary, which is missionaries from local countries that have gone to preach the gospel, amen, and establish the work of God. The work of the Lord is today being preached around the world, amen, that souls might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, amen. Praise the Lord. And I say today, church, with the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth,
to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Thank the Lord for somebody that came. For somebody, amen, that came your way and shared with you this precious truth. I don't know how it happened with you. With me, amen, it happened because my uncle was visiting my home and he knelt beside my bed in that two-story parsonage in McCleary, Washington, where my mother and father pastored many years. And my uncle came and knelt beside my bed, Uncle Tim, and he knelt beside my bed and he said, "Michael, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ." And I said, "No, Uncle Tim, I'm going to wait till I'm 18. I'm only 7. And I told him that. And he said, "No, Michael," I said, "today is the day of opportunity." And he began to pray with me. Amen. I lifted up my little hands and I began to pray and I began to worship the Lord. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost that day. Amen. Put a call of God on my life. Amen. At the age of 18, I began to run from that call. Amen. Was never out of church. God had a purpose for my life. Amen. But was running from the call that God had laid upon my life. I am thankful today for the heritage, amen, that we have. Amen. Thankful today for preachers of the gospel, because we were reached because somebody preached and continues to preach into our lives. And they in the country of Uruguay and Brazil, they also need to experience this wonderful truth. Amen. We have ministered in the country of Brazil for many years. My wife and I was taken to the country of Brazil as a boy. My mother and father gave 42 years of missionary service to the country of Brazil. And I went to Brazil. I was taken to the country of Brazil as a boy of 12 years of age. And it was there that I was raised and began my ministry. My wife and I have given ourselves 25 years of missionary service to the country of Brazil. And now we are in the country of Uruguay, endeavoring to minister among those people. Amen. If time fails me to give you a full report of all of the wonderful things that God has done, but my wife and I established several churches in southern Brazil, and we're very active in the Bible school program. We also went into northeastern Brazil. Now, when I say northeastern Brazil, I'm speaking of 3,500 miles north of where I was raised, into a four-state region where there were 42 million people, where there was not one single church in a four-state area. My wife and I began working in this area and gave 10 and a half years there, planting a church and establishing a Bible school. We were able to establish 13 churches in this 10-year period, amen, in a Bible school, endeavoring to train workers and to send them into the many different regions of that land to preach the gospel. Church, that is what missionary service is all about. Praise the Lord. It is about obeying the call of God, and it is about going. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. And so as you give, you also are going. The country of Uruguay is a country that is very different from the rest of South America. Latin people, for the most part, as you may know, are very happy people and very open to the gospel. But in the country of Uruguay, a country of 3.5 million people, it is in that country that they are very different. They're very secular, very European, and they are very closed to anything outside of their culture or outside of their religious belief. And so it has been a very difficult road, amen, to establish the work of the Lord there in the country of Uruguay. Nevertheless, there is a tremendous church there. We have 21 churches throughout the country. We have beautiful congregations and beautiful people. During these several decades where missionaries have gone and established the work of the Lord, for many, many years, for decades, there has been a spirit of oppression and depression that have bound that country for many years. Amen. But I believe, church, that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. There is nothing impossible to them that believe. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. I believe tonight, church, in the power of prayer, because there is power in prayer. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 107, verse 28, it says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses, because there is power in prayer." Praise the Lord. Daniel prayed in a lion's den, and the Lord shut up the mouths of the lions. Amen. Because he was a man of prayer, and there is power in prayer. Amen. Hannah, amen, was a very sad and distraught woman because she couldn't bear children. But one day she went to the temple and prayed with such passion that the Bible says she outpoured, amen, her soul before the Lord. Amen. And God blessed her with a son by the name of Samuel, who became, amen, the most prominent prophet and judge in the country of Israel of that day. Yes, and blessed her with many sons and daughters, because there is power in prayer. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Elijah, amen, full of faith, amen, was staying with a widow and her son when the son became ill and died. But Elijah, full of faith, amen, prayed over the boy, and God brought him back from the dead, because there is power in prayer. Praise the Lord. Uruguay, amen, may be distraught with its oppression and depression, but I feel today, church, that there is power in prayer. Can you say amen? And I want to invite pastor to come today. Amen. And I want and any saint that would like to come, any leadership personnel that would like to come today, and pastor, would you lay hands on this little plaque of Uruguay, and would you make intercession for that country today? Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me today, saints of God? Amen. Anybody here would like to come and lay hands on this plaque with us today? Amen. Praise the Lord, and pray on behalf of that country in the name of Jesus. Gather around here today.
God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that there be a mighty harvest, Lord. We take dominion over darkness in that country. In the name of Jesus, loose warrior angels, Lord, to go before your servants, I pray, Lord. Pour out the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let the miracles and power of God be manifested, Lord. In this country, we pray, anoint our missionaries, Lord, with unction and power and fire, Lord God. Oh, Lord Jesus, open up Bible studies, Lord, preaching points, Lord, new churches, Lord, and a harvest that's loosed by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Work in this country, we pray, and give, Lord, special anointings, Lord, to your servants, God, to go forth with a reaping anointing, we pray. Thank you for it, God. We give you praise right now. In Jesus' name. Woo! In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Is there anybody here that needs a miracle? Is there anybody here? You need a miracle in your life. You need a miracle in your body. You need a miracle in your finances. You need a miracle tonight. If you will step up to the altar, I'm going to ask pastor to come. I'm going to lay hands on you tonight. And God is going to give you a miracle in the name of Jesus. By authority of the word of God. And by the power of the name Jesus. In the name of the Lord, receive your miracle. Boy, oh, in the name of Jesus, by authority of the word of God, and by the power of the name Jesus, receive your miracle today in the name of the Lord. Receive your miracle today in the name of Jesus. Yes, Aramakata Yaramo, Yabakata Yarabahata Yamasika. In the name of Jesus, my sister, by authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, receive your miracle today in the name of the Lord. Be made whole today according to your faith. In the name of Jesus, my sister, by authority of the word of God and by the power of his name, receive your miracle today in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, by authority of the word of God and by the power of his name, my sister, receive your miracle. Receive your miracle today in the name of Jesus. Be made whole today in the name of the Lord by authority of the word of God, my friend. Receive your miracle tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, my friend, by authority of the word of God and by the power of his name tonight, amen, receive your miracle in the name of the Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, receive it tonight according to your faith. Be it unto you as you believe the Lord for it. In the name of Jesus, I declare it today in the name of the Lord, by authority of the word of God, by the power of the name Jesus. Receive your miracle. Oh, yeah, there is power in this place. Yes, there is power in this place tonight. By authority of the word of God, by the power of his name, receive your miracle, young man, in the name of Jesus, by authority of the word of God. Hallelujah, by the promises of his word, receive your miracle. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Sister Meadows. By authority of the word of God. By the power of his name tonight. Receive your miracle today. Yes, I can't say it. I'm a hoshay. I'm a kai. Yes, I'm a kondorobo. Yandira boshatay. I'm a katai. In the name of Jesus, be made whole today. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, I can't say it. I'm a yes, I can't say it. Yes, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We magnify your name tonight, Lord. We worship you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise once again. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just worship him. Worship him tonight. Worship him tonight. Yes, worship the Lord. Raise your hands and worship him tonight. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God's doing something in this place. God's doing something special in this house tonight. Yes, in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Yes, be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Begin speaking with other tongues as the Spirit giveth you utterance to speak in the name of the Lord. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Yea, Ramakaya Mosharibaka. In the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight in the name of the Lord. We are so thankful today for the opportunity your pastor has given us to come, amen, and share with you the vision, the burden that God has laid upon our hearts to go into the country of Uruguay and minister among those people. Amen. Preach this gospel. My wife and I are mainly engaged in the Bible school, the training, equipping of young men and women for the preaching of the gospel, for leadership, our ladies for leadership in the work of the Lord there. And very engaged in this. This past term, we pastored the headquarters church. And we've now handed that over to our assistant or associate pastor. He's doing a tremendous work there, a job there in the local church. And my wife and I are going to be engaged in traveling among the churches and visiting the work of the Lord, visiting the different churches, encouraging the pastors, challenging the saints to become involved, more involved in the work of the Lord in their regional communities. Amen. And hoping to expand the work of the Lord. The country of Uruguay is composed of 19 states. We have churches in 9 of those states. The city of Montevideo is the largest city in Uruguay. It has 1.5 million people in that one city. It's composed of 64, what we would call neighborhoods, 64 neighborhoods. We have churches only in 4 of those neighborhoods. So we face a tremendous challenge in the country of Uruguay. We desperately need laborers for the harvest field. And we pray that you will pray with us, amen, on this for this purpose. And that souls might experience not only salvation, but that they also might have a call of God upon their lives. And that they may go unto their own people to preach the gospel. This is the secret of expanding the work of the Lord, is multiplying ourselves many times over. Amen. And so this is what we are endeavoring to do. And so we want to come and ask that you would join with us in Partners in Missions. Through Partners in Missions, you help the Walmer family fulfill our calling. Amen. And as you do that, you are participating in that harvest in that place. And together we are fulfilling the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And so we hope and pray that you will join with us in this purpose. Amen. And that we may together fulfill what God has called us to do. And that is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also, today I wanted to share with you and ask that you may consider also a one-time offering that we are in need of today. I've left with your pastor a list of different projects that we have for the country of Uruguay. And these, all of these, there's a list of them, different projects help us or enhance the work of the Lord that we are doing in the country of Uruguay. For example, one of these are for conferences and seminars, holding conference seminars. And
the reason that we're raising these funds is because of the high cost of travel in the country of Uruguay. Uruguay is a socialist country, and so it's much similar to the things that Bernie Sanders is talking about. And there they have a 22% sales tax. That's just for starters. Gasoline runs about $8 a gallon, and so it is very, very expensive for us to travel. Okay, very expensive. And so we're endeavoring to raise some funds for conference and seminars. That is to help us in the travel and to hold these seminars in the different churches throughout the country, endeavoring to engage the people more in evangelism, in the work of the Lord, and endeavor to expand the kingdom of God. One of the things that our administrative body, that is the Foreign Missions or Global Missions Administrative Body, has asked us to raise funds for, is to help us with some funds for our airfare and our shipping back to the country of Uruguay. Amen. I understand that my wife has already gone, but they have asked me to raise some funds through our churches to help us with this large expense. We have needed to raise about $9,500 for this. But we only need today about $3,000 to complete raising this budget. Whatever amount you are able to give or are willing to give, we are very thankful. This isn't anything that you need to give me tonight, but it is something that within the next few months you can pledge to give and would be able to send in at a later time. I'm thankful tonight for your willingness to consider that, and for helping us, amen, obtain those objectives. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Thankful for the opportunity your pastor has given to us, and because of the time, amen, I'm going to forfeit the second video that I was going to show of the work, and I want to step right into the word of the Lord. Amen. Would you open your Bible with me tonight to the book of Luke, chapter 9 tonight. Book of Luke, chapter 9. And I'm going to read to you a verse of Scripture. Before I do preach, I want to mention we have a display out in the front where we would like to meet each and every one of you. We have several things there from the country of Uruguay and Brazil. First of all, we have there some Brazilian coffee. Amen. And these are little half-pound packets, and we're offering these things to you today for a nominal donation, and the proceeds from the table help us with our travel expenses here in America. We've been traveling since February of 2015. And we've been traveling a little more than a year, and we've traveled coast to coast. I could give you a rundown of where we've been, every district, every state, but it's up and down, back and forth. And we've been coast to coast, and we've been in a lot of places. Amen. But the travel is expensive, even here in America, with gasoline at $1.80. It still gets expensive. Amen. So if you are able to help us by purchasing any of the things there, we have some CDs. These are CDs that have been prepared by one of our UPCI ministers here in America. He is a professional musician, and he has a studio, and he has prepared CDs for different ones, and he has donated to us the CDs that are on the table to bless our ministry. So if you purchase one or two of these CDs, two of them are of his own composition. They are instrumental songs, some of the old hymns that have been sung in the past. That will bless your home as you play them or as you use them for meditation and prayer. I'm sure that they will be of great blessing to you. We're asking a $10 donation for each CD. But as you give, amen, you help us because the funds come to us blessed by this minister that donated these CDs, and we're very thankful for them. One other thing that we have, there are some revival pocket rocks. These are actually semi-precious stones that are from the country of Uruguay. And we call these revival pocket rocks because we're asking you to come by the display and get a rock and commit with us to pray. Every time you put your hand in your pocket, you feel that rock there, that you would stop right there, dead in your tracks, and say a prayer for the Walmer family. Amen? So what's going to happen, you're going to be down, say, at Walmart, and you're going to step up to the cashier, and you're going to pay your goods. She'll say, well, that'll be $135.15. And when you reach in your pocket to pull up that change, there, lo and behold, there's that pocket rock there. Well, we're a committed bunch, right? Amen. So we just stop right there and say a prayer for the Walmer family. Lord, bless the Walmers in Uruguay. Give them revival. Open doors for them, Lord, and many souls for the harvest and labors. In Jesus' name, when you open your eyes. Cashier's looking at you. What are you doing? Oh, sorry. I'm praying for my mission down in South America. By the way, you know, I go to the United Pentecostal Church over here in Galloway, and I want to invite you to come to our church. God is doing some awesome things there, and he has a plan for you. Amen? That'll work, church. Amen. Now, you may be saying to me, Brother Walmer, get real. We use debit cards, Brother Walmer. Okay. I know. So what you do, you go back there and you get you one of them, you find yourself one of them flat ones, amen, and you tape it to the back of your debit card. And every time you pull your debit card out, you'll see that rock there and remind you to pray for the Walmers, amen? Praise God. God bless you tonight, amen. Book of Luke, would you stand to your feet tonight? Book of Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 and jump down to verse 6 to save on time tonight. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together. And he gave them power and authority over how many? All devils. And to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6 says, and they obeyed. They departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Today I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on the premise advancing the kingdom of God. I believe today that if there is anything we need to do, amen, is to advance the kingdom of the Lord. And as far as what I have heard from Sister Amber, amen, is that she was focused, amen, on advancing the kingdom of God. She was focused on giving more. She was focused on doing much more than what was being done. Amen. And this has touched my life tonight. And I believe that God would speak to us through his word tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, we are thankful for what you have given to us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us minister to your church tonight in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak into the hearts of these precious saints of God tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Are you generally out by 8:30, brother? Amen. Praise God. Amen. For just a few minutes tonight, church, I want to share with you, amen, what I feel God has laid upon my heart for this time. The Bible says, and I am encouraged to see on your screen tonight, the theme for this year, I believe it would be to seek him first. Amen. Because the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes, amen. I am thankful today for the kingdom of God. Thankful that God, through salvation, through repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that is the gospel, amen, that I have been ushered into the kingdom of God. Not just because I was born in a pastor's home, amen, not just because I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal, amen, am I chosen, amen, to have a privileged place in heaven? No, I needed to experience heaven itself. I needed to experience, amen, the wonderful plan of salvation like each and every one of them in this world. For the will of God is that not one would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Praise the Lord. Amen. The days that we live today, church, are days of the coming of the Lord. And I ask
ask you the question, for whom is the Lord coming? The book of Matthew chapter 24 shows us, amen, who for whom he is coming. Verse 13, Matthew 24 and 13 says that he is coming for those that endure. He is coming for those that persevere. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you, dear saints of God here today of Galloway, that you would endure and that you would persevere in the ways of the Lord. Amen. That you would continue pushing. That you would continue battling. Amen. That you would continue persevering. Amen. To obtain that crown of righteousness. Amen. That the Lord has promised for you. He is coming, according to verse 31 in Matthew 24. He is coming for the elect. Amen. And that we may realize and be thankful for the fact that God has called us. Amen. For such a time as this. Praise the Lord. Verse 44 says that he is coming for the prepared. Amen. Amen. And I ask you, who are the prepared? Verse 45 answers that question. When Jesus, amen, says to them, amen, speaks of the faithful and wise servants, those that are obedient. Amen. In fact, Jesus, amen, as we study this passage of Scripture, we can come to the conclusion that he is coming for those that are busy about the Father's business. Amen. I ask you today the question, when you take a look at your agenda, when you take a look at your bucket list, when you take a look at the things that you want to fulfill this week, this month, this year, amen, how many of those items, how many of those things depict or tell, amen, that you are focused on the Father's business? Amen. Jesus, at the age of 12, amen, spoke to his parents after they had sought for him 3 days. Amen. They had lost Jesus. They didn't know where he was. And finally they went to the temple, maybe to solicit the help of the priests, of the scribes and different ones there. But when they got there they find Jesus sitting with the doctors of the law, the lawyers of that time, amen, discussing and arguing the word of the Lord. And they began, as any parent would do, they began to scold the little Jesus. Amen. We've been looking 3 days for you. We have been upset. We have spent many nights concerned of your well-being. Amen. And he looks to them inquisitively and he says, wouldn't you know that I would be busy about my Father's business? Oh, church, if a 12-year-old, amen, yes, fully man, let me remind you, could be focused on fulfilling the purpose that God had for him. Amen. How much more do you and I today need to find, first of all, amen, that niche, that place, amen, where we can advance the kingdom of God. It may be sitting at the soundboard. It may be teaching a home Bible study. It may be teaching a Sunday school class. But today I want to propose, amen, that we advance the kingdom of God. Amen. In wherever place, in whatever year, in whatever day, amen, that we would purpose to advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. How can we advance the kingdom of God? I propose today, and I'm jumping way ahead here, amen, I propose today that there be 3 things that we do to advance the kingdom of God. First of all, there needs to be a change of perception. We need to understand that we are God's people. We need to understand, I think sometimes we forget or we feel intimidated. Amen. That we are God's people. We are God's people. God has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in chapter 6 and verse 9, well-known passage of Scripture, nothing new to you at all. Amen. But it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye've been washed, but ye've been sanctified, but ye've been justified, amen, by the Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit. There has been a change. Yes, amen. There has been a change. But you know what I believe, church? I believe that what happens with us is that we allow the struggle. We allow the battle. Amen. I feel the anointing of the Lord tonight in saying this. We allow the battle, amen, with our flesh to intimidate us into a proverbial corner somewhere, and we count ourselves out. Well, Lord, you know, I'm just having this little battle, and I just can't do anything for the kingdom of God until I get this result. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, he said, amen, he talks about the Christian walk. He said, the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. He is speaking of the nature of the Christian life. Amen. We are at war. We are at war. We are at war. First of all, we are at war with our own flesh. Amen. We sleep with the enemy. Amen. We need to get up each morning and we need to refocus. We need to be refocused. Amen. On what the purpose of life is all about. Amen. God has, it's not the accumulation of life's goods or earthly goods, but it is, amen, to fulfill the purpose that God has for each and every one of us, amen, that we would impact, that our lives would change, that our lives would impact the life of somebody else, and we can expand, we can advance the kingdom of God. Apostle Peter, writing to the Christian church, says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people. In time past were not a people, but are now people of God. Which in time past had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have obtained the mercy of God. We have obtained the grace of God. We have obtained, amen, the mercies of the Lord. He has bestowed upon us his grace and his mercy. Yes, amen, I battle. Amen, the Christian life, church, is learning to surrender your will. Surrender your will, amen, to the will of God. Surrender your passion. Surrendering your desires. Surrendering your flesh, amen, to the will of God. That's what it's all about. That is the Christian life. Amen, it must never intimidate us. It must never intimidate us into a proverbial corner, but we must make a stand. Amen. In this last days, and I believe we're living in the days of the church. This is our day. This is our day to make a stand and declare the power of God. Hallelujah. As we endeavor, amen, to live out, praise the Lord, that the experience, amen, the calling that he has placed in our lives. Not only does it need a change of perception, it needs also a willingness to obey. The angel Gabriel steps into her life. Verse 28 says, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. When she saw him, she is troubled. The angel repeats it and he says, fear not, Mary, for thou art highly favored with God. I've come to tell someone here tonight, you are highly favored of God. You need to break out. You need to break out of your intimidation. You need to break out. Amen. You need to break out. Praise the Lord of your low self-esteem. And you need to step up to the plate. Amen. You need to look the devil in the eye. Start out with your own home. Amen. Start out with your own home. Walk through your own home and declare victory in your own home. Amen. In the bedroom, in the living room, in the bathroom, in the storage closet, in the broom closet. Amen. In the kitchen, in the dining room. Walk through your home. Amen. Tell that devil, tell that green-eyed devil, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out of this place. Amen. You have no authority in my home. Because me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. Do it on the job. Get there 30 minutes early. Amen. Walk through those cubicles and declare the power of God over that place. Amen. Or walk through that garage or walk whatever through it. Amen. And declare the power of God. Hallelujah. In that place. Amen. Let us get focused. Let us get, amen, focused on the Lord's business. Mary, I've had a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And Mary goes, "Whoo! My goodness, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She couldn't comprehend it. She couldn't get her head around it. My goodness, how is this going to happen? I know not a man. The angel answered, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And he speaks of other miracles with her cousin Elizabeth. Says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary humbly says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." What I pull out of this church is that though she could not fully comprehend, I don't believe she really fully comprehended what was happening. It was happening too fast. She, you know, the angel just wasn't sitting there sipping tea. He was communicating something from the very throne of God. It was happening fast. But here is Mary's reply. "Lord, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." You see, there was a willingness to obey. I remember very vividly, I remember the story of my mother. She was only 12 years old. She lived in a little place called Albany, Oregon. And it was there that my mother first came to know the Lord. Unbeknownst to her, several months prior to that, there was a calling that God laid upon the heart of a man by the name of Orion Gleason. And Orion Gleason went to that little city of Albany, Oregon. He could have gone to many other places, but he went to Albany, Oregon. It was there that he decided to open a little church. And his daughter, well, she had to go to school. And so she went to the middle school there in Albany, and she sat down beside a girl by the name of Linda, and they became best friends. And it wasn't too long after that Joan Gleason looked over to Linda Brown and said, "Linda, would you go to Sunday school with me?" "Sunday school, what's that?" "Well, my daddy is a preacher and he's opened a church and we have Sunday school classes on Sunday morning. Would you go to Sunday school with me?" Linda said, "Well, I could ask my mom. I mean, we don't go to church." The next Sunday, Linda went to that little whitewashed building on the corner of Main and I don't know what else. And as she walked into that little building, she felt the presence of God for the very first time. She never left the church. She never did stay home ever again. She was always in the house of God. It wasn't too long after that little Linda, 12 years old, amen, was at the altar with her hands raised, and she was receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave her the utterance. And as she began to worship the Lord, and as she began to speak in other tongues, the Lord infused into her being a calling to go into South America, and there she would serve the Lord in missionary service. Linda felt so impacted by this calling. She was so impressed with it that she went down. In those days, we had dime stores. Hello? Anybody remember the dime stores? Hello? Kind of dates you, you know, you might not want to raise your hand. You know, when she goes down to the dime store, she buys a map of South America, and she comes home and she puts the map up on her wall over her bed. And she comes home after school every day. She comes home from school and there's nobody in the house. And she kneels down under her bed or not under her bed, under the map, at her bedside. And she prays the prayer. She says, Lord, I don't know much about this calling. I don't know much about South America. It's a big place. There are many countries. I don't know what purpose you would have with me. I'm just a little girl from Albany. But Jesus, here are my hands. Here are my feet. Amen. There was a willingness to obey the call of God. Amen. When I look over this congregation today, I can't help but think, amen, that when we came into the house of God, when we came into the kingdom of God, amen, that when we received the Holy Ghost, that God began to quicken to our hearts. He began to open our eyes, and we began to see the world in a different light. We began to see our relatives and neighbors. We began to see our family members as people that were in need of God. Amen. We began to be burdened with them. We began to pray with them. Amen. We began to seek the Lord on their behalf. Yes, there began a fire, a revival. Amen. Things began to happen, and that fire was quenched in our soul. But I want to remind you tonight of it. Amen. Because I believe that is the point, that is the place where God wants us to live each and every day. Amen. That we would come to this altar tonight, and that we would stir up the gift of God that is within us. That calling, that gift. Amen. That message, that feeling, that burning in our soul. Amen. That we would go out of this place into our mission field, and that we would desperately advance the kingdom of God. Mary was willing to accept what God decided. Are you willing to accept what God decided, what God decides? Excuse me for saying this, but I've pastored many years not to know this. But I know people, they want to give something to God. And so they'll come to the altar, but they'll stop right about the first bench. It's like they're saying, well, Lord, you know, you can have my big toe. But that's about it. Are we willing to come and say, Lord, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to do, I'm willing to say, here's my life. We are Americans. We believe in the vote. Come on now, church. It's okay to say amen. I'm not Bernie. We believe in the vote. We believe in our own voice, on our own rights. It's hard for us Americans to say, God, here, just take it all. We've sung the song tonight, it's all about you, Lord. But how many of you sing that song kind of? It's all about you, Lord, but. Hello? A willingness to obey. But not only do we need a change of perception and a willingness to obey, we also need an undying love for our neighbor. Because you see, love is not what the world says it is. True love is not really a variety of different feelings and states and attitudes that range from interpersonal affection to pleasure. No, it's not that. True love is a decision. True love is where we will to love, because Jesus chose to love until the end. Jesus loved you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but would have everlasting life. He loved until the end. He loved you and me. He loved every Uruguayan, every Brazilian, every Ohioan. He loved. And he loves. And he desires to manifest that love through me and you today. He desires to manifest that love. And so I ask you today that we would obey the voice of God. Our text says that the disciples obeyed the Lord. Our text says that in verse 6 that they departed and they went through the towns and they preached the gospel and they healed the sick. You know why? Because the Lord removed the scales from their eyes. And they now could see the need. If there is anything that needs to happen tonight, we need to go out of this place seeing the need that is around us. That God would help us through His Spirit, that we could see the need that is around us today. Amen. Amen. I've heard just in the last few days, I've heard so much about Amber. And I didn't meet her personally. But I believe that she was consumed. I heard it said that she never knew a stranger. Walk up to anybody. Shake their hand. Introduce herself. She would go forward. And she would say, "Hi, I'm Amber." I was in a Bob Evans not too long ago, and I was going up to the cashier to pay my bill, and she was busy with somebody else, and I heard her mention to a colleague or something about some need in her life, and she was distressed, and she needed to go home. She needed to clock out early. And so as I came up to the counter, I laid my bill on the counter, and I said, "I know a God. I can heal you. I can do a miracle in your life. Would you let me pray for you?" Amen. Brother Walmer, this is 21st century America. You can't do that. Hey, listen. Are we afraid to be locked up in jail? The disciples weren't afraid to be locked up in jail. Amen. They weren't afraid to lift up the banner of Jesus Christ. They were prohibited from preaching this gospel. Okay, we're going to let you go, but you're prohibited from preaching the gospel. Amen. With no uncertain terms, they went into the temple and they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God, and demonstrate and manifest the power of God. Oh, listen, church, I know a God that can heal, that can save, and can deliver. I know a God that can bring a miracle in your life. No, I don't have the answers to all your complicated problems. No, I don't have the answer, amen, to all the complicated problems of the families of America today. I don't, and you don't, but I know a God that can begin to unravel, amen, the situations in their lives, hallelujah, and bring about a peace, and bring about a harmony, and bring about a hope, amen, that no other God can bring into their lives. How are we to love? We are to love in deed and in truth. We are to love as that good Samaritan loved. Because you see, love is shown in compassion. And differently than the priest of all people and above the Levite, the Samaritan man, hated, despised by the Jews, when he sees that Jewish man fallen by the wayside, nothing else mattered. He had been moved with compassion. He gets down off of his beast, I say horse. He goes to the man. He begins to tend to the man. You see, it doesn't bother him to dirty his hands and clothes, to dress the wounds of the man. It doesn't bother him to use his oil and wine or to walk while he puts the hurting man on his beast. It doesn't bother him to pay the stay at the inn or the time it took to look after him. No, it didn't bother him to cover the expenses of the injured that was left in the care of the innkeeper. He had been moved with compassion. And in closing today in this message, I am reminded so vividly of a man that I won to the Lord in Uruguay by the name of Edgardo Fernandez. I had been going to a rehab center and had been teaching Bible studies there to a group of homeless men that had lived on the streets of the city of Montevideo. And that I would sit in that makeshift table, literally the walls of that place. It was a little rehab center, and they depended on donations. The walls were literally made of sticks and mud. Literally. The roof was a patchwork of different shingles and pieces of tin and pieces of clay. But we sat there at that table and we would teach the Word of God. Tears would stream down the faces of those men. I had the opportunity of baptizing many of them in Jesus' name. There was one man by the name of Edgardo, a big burly man, big teddy bear type guy. And I won him to the Lord. Him and I became like brothers. Baptized him in Jesus' name, was praying with him when he received the Holy Ghost. And we began to work together to expand the rehab into a second phase. And we would get in my truck and we would go out and do different errands. And we'd be driving down the street and all of a sudden he'd yell out, "Stop the truck! Stop!" So I'd pull over to the side of the road and he'd jump out and he'd run back down the sidewalk. I'd be parked illegally. I'd have the four-way flashers on. And he'd go back and I'd watch him in the mirror. He'd go back a certain ways back there and all of a sudden he'd lift up a piece of cardboard on the ground. And under the cardboard was laying a man in a drunken stupor. He would grab that man and he'd call him by name. You see, he had lived on the streets of Montevideo for decades. He had caroused with all of them. And he'd pick them up and he'd kind of slap them on the face. And he'd wake them up and he would say, "Remember me? I'm Edgardo. Remember me? I'm Edgardo. Jesus has changed my life and Jesus has a plan for you." And he would begin to pour out his heart. And he would begin to weep. And he would begin to tell them what Jesus had done for him. And how that the Lord had a purpose for their lives. We took many of them to the rehab center. God began to do a work in their lives as well. He would come back into the truck and he would be full of emotion. He would be weeping and he would pray. We would pray together because he had been moved with compassion. When was the last time that we have been moved with compassion? We are so focused on our own stuff. Come on, church, let's get real. We're so focused on us. We're so focused on our own stuff, on our own objectives. So I bring you back to that story where Jesus said, "Wouldn't you know that I would be busy about my Father's business?" I pray today as we close this service, this message, that you would stand to your feet. Amen. And that you would be willing to come with me, amen, to this altar to stir up the gift of God that is within you, a particular gift of God. God has put a gift in you today. And I conclude this message by asking you the question, who is waiting for your decision today? A child, a mother, a family, an entire block. I didn't tell you, and if you will listen closely, if you would just give me your undivided attention for just a minute, I'm going to close this service and I'm going to hand this back to your pastor. I wanted to tell you the end of the story of my mother. She would kneel at that bed and she would pray and ask God, "God, here are my hands and here are my feet." When she turned 18, she went to Bible school in Portland, Oregon. It was there that she met my father, who came from Washington State. They were married and began to assist in the Oregon City church there, pastored by Edwin Judd. Fantastic man. Not too long after that, they moved to Washington and began to pastor there, working in the work of the Lord. And in 1970, they went to the General Conference in Portland, Oregon. And during the missions conference, the mission service, I don't know who was emceeing at that service, but he was began to mention several countries and the need that there was in those countries. And when he mentioned Brazil, both my mother and father felt an infusion from the Lord to go to that country and dedicate their lives. My father began to sell his business. He had a construction business. He
They begin to work out the details of their calling and of their appointment. We arrived there 4 years later, November 7th of 1974. I was 12 years old. And I watched my parents give 42 years of missionary service to the country of Brazil. We went to Rio. Then we moved, a year and a half later, moved to southern Brazil. When we arrived in southern Brazil, there were four churches. Within a four-year period, within a term, we had increased those churches to 12. And it kept on multiplying and growing. Today, there are hundreds of ministers, hundreds of churches, due to their direct ministry. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that little Joan Gleason lives today in Indiana. Never had a clue that her little invitation, Linda, will you go to Sunday school with me, would have such an impact on a country, on a nation. So I ask you the question again, who is waiting for your decision? The decision that you will make today to advance the kingdom of God, whatever it would be and wherever it would be, whether it would be by inviting somebody to church, whether it would be by teaching a home Bible study, whether it would be by having a cell group in your home, whether it be by having a weekly prayer service in your home, but whatever it would be, go ahead and play, brother. That you would advance the kingdom of God. That you would influence a child, a mother, a family, an entire block, a neighborhood, a city, a country. Because you're willing to let God stir up the gift that is within you today. Pastor, would you come? Thank you so much. Would you raise your hands and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Oh, yes.